The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another week of K4 Wins. We got some big time winners this week. And of course, in the world where everyone's got handicap shows and betting stuff, we are on fire. Of course, we are documented as well. We will make sure that we'll tell you exactly how we're doing. And one of you guys going to do that is Kai Gregory. Of course, he's been handicapping for nearly 35 or 40 years, a businessman in his own right. Case Kiefer, the chief editor of Las Vegas Sun, joins us every single week. Kip Kiefer, my radio partner in many different things. And of course, a star of Starting Lineup Show on ABC 33. 40 with myself and an expert. He is the, executive director at the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. Fantastic work. I'm Tony Curry. I've worked at ESPN on sports radio for like 25 years. And it's a show where we basically sit back and we really do a lot of college stuff, but we'll also look at some professional stuff because Case down there in the bottom right-hand corner is about a half mile away from Raiders camp, and he is the beat writer for those Las Vegas Raiders. First of all, Kai, tell everyone how we did past week. We're just getting warmed up, brother.
Hey, week four, fourth winning week in a row. We ended up going 14-7 Saturday through Monday. Not bad. Year to date on our free plays, we're 27-12-1, and the paid picks are 60-36-1. So, you know, we're staying at a good pace. Pretty happy with the results so far.
I think we kind of went to that third week. That was that weird week. Where there wasn't really any game. There was only one game where we had a top 25 matchup, and there were a lot of rivalry games, which is really bizarre. Colorado, Colorado State, and Washington, Washington State, the Apple. We had a bunch of weird games like so early in the season. In case, I kind of wanted to get your thoughts. How did Vegas do this past week? I know you got your finger on the button, but every single week, I'd like to know how Vegas did against that number, because I thought it was a really hard handicapping week last weekend. We did well.
Yeah, I haven't talked to a ton of bookmakers. Honestly, I used to a lot more before the Raiders were here. Now that takes so much of my time, but I have heard through my network, through talking around town, that it has been a big start to the year for the books. They're doing really well. However, I know it's different where you guys are, but here NFL kind of trumps everything. I mean, even as much money as they take on college football, I mean, they're getting like five times the volume on NFL. And I know they just scooped a lot in the NFL last week, especially with all the upsets. So I didn't hear them crying about how much they lost on college either. So I think it's safe to say they had a good Saturday and then a great Sunday. Definitely a lot of people donating to the books out here, it sounds like, through the first two or three weeks of the season.
And Kip, you and I have been knee deep in this handicapping stuff all week because we have to. We do shows throughout the entire week. And of course, this will be the first week where we have a lot of teams playing their first conference games, including one Oklahoma against Kai's Tennessee Volunteers in the SEC. We got first ones in the USC in the Big Ten. It's just strange seeing some of these first week of matchups in some of these fresh conferences for some of these teams.
Yeah, that's the brave new world that we're looking at in college football. And you've got teams that have played traditionally at the bowl level, perhaps, but never really match up much ever in the regular season. I'm really looking forward to the Big Orange and the Boomer Sooners. Oklahoma, I think anybody would have to say, has been a disappointment so far, although they are 3-0. They haven't looked spectacular, particularly in that second game against Houston. That was a dreadful effort. That they barely survived. That's going to be interesting. And the gauge too is Tennessee. Cause you figure the atmosphere in Norman tomorrow night, it's got to be just electric. It's their first ever SEC game. They get the number six team in the country coming in. I can't wait for that one. And I think we're going to learn a whole lot about both those teams in that game, as well as the game up at the Big House, which yesterday I was saying, and it's been more like the dilapidated hovel so far this year than a big house, because they haven't looked very good. They overwhelmed mighty Arkansas State, your favorite team and coach, 28-18 last week. That wasn't a very statement win for Michigan. If USC comes in there and blows
unless
them
Butch
away,
Jones is a lot better than we thought he was.
Yeah, Butch is a master tactician, isn't he? If USC,
he's not better.
Yeah. If USC comes in there, yeah, Kai knows all about Butch Jones from getting to watch him on the sideline and try to get on planes anonymously so people didn't give him a load of crap. But But if USC goes in there and dominates Michigan, like a lot of people expect, we can pretty much write this Wolverine team off because they are what we think they are at this point in that case.
Kyle, let's look at the big ball game. I wasn't going to ask you anything about Tennessee because I know you're a huge homer and you're going to be biased and you're proud to say you're biased towards Tennessee. Now, all of a sudden, you're a 7-point favorite on the road at Oklahoma. Tennessee, I think 64 points a ball game is pretty doggone good through the first 3 weeks of the college football season. We expected that, maybe not 64 points a game. We didn't really expect that they'd only be giving up 4 points on defense. What do you think of this game, the big ball game everyone's going to be looking at right here?
Definitely a homer. But at the same time, this game, people have got to realize, you know, and I know, I think Oklahoma's been pretty vanilla. Oklahoma has played better competition than Tennessee has, I think.
Yeah.
You can look at NC State. Maybe I think, you know, if you haven't played this game, maybe look at the 11 o'clock game tomorrow. Watch the NC State Clemson game. That line's dropping a little bit. See how that game goes. You know, you got to see Clemson against Georgia and, you know, some of this other stuff. NC State, it's kind of been a disappointment as well. Now, quarterback's hurt, going with the backup, Blaney or Brainy or whatever his name is. For NC State is going to be playing that game. You know, people don't realize Oklahoma's been without 8 starters. 2 offensive linemen that are huge. Their best 2 wide receivers from last year have been hurt all year. Those guys are coming back for this game. They're getting 2 starters back on defense, and then 2 other guys, I think they call it the I don't know, that one of their linebacker positions that starts with a C, that it comes back. It's Nico's first true road game. Tennessee has played, you know, Our Lady of the Blind and Deaf twice and NC State. So, you know, I don't really know. I think Tennessee's a better team on the road. The first SEC game, like you said, for Oklahoma, the line's 7.5. You know, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to watch that game as a fan. I'm not touching it. I do think it's going to be lower scoring than people think. I think Tennessee's going to go in and put 50 points up. You know, Oklahoma has a defense. The biggest key is going to be Oklahoma's offensive line. Now they get those 2 starters back, so who knows? Tennessee's defensive line has been impressive against crap competition, so, you know, we'll see. James Pierce and their other 2 starting tackles, I mean, he's not a tackle, he's defensive end, but still, they've ended up with like 15 snaps per game. So I'm also interested to see how is Tennessee going to be physically in the second half of that game.
That Tennessee game is very interesting too. You mentioned the over under, it's about 57.5. It's moved within a point either way. And normally, Case, when you talk about 2 high powered offenses, again, it's something in Oklahoma, we're week 4. I don't know if Oklahoma just hasn't shown anything. They haven't wanted to show anything because they knew this Tennessee game was on the horizon. Everyone's looking a week ahead. They've been live ahead this game circled since the beginning of the season. And then Tennessee's really not had to lay anything out at all. They haven't showed anything, but they've just been scoring up on points. Whenever you see 2 high-powered offenses with an over-under in the 50s, generally what happens in Vegas?
Well, I haven't got there yet, but we have seen this number crashing. I think it opened 60.5. I think I would agree with you guys' sentiment that if I was betting it right now, it would be under or past. I am really interested in this game. Obviously, this is one of those interesting ones that goes towards, I mean, do we react to what we've seen or our priors coming in? As I got to say, coming into the season, and also we have breaking news on this game. We have a drop for that or something, but there's money pouring in on Oklahoma this morning at the market making books, now down to 6.5. Across the board, Circus, Superbook, the places taking the biggest bet, people like Oklahoma. I'm not sure I can get there, but it's making me nervous because coming into the year, I would have smashed Oklahoma on the spot. I was on the Tennessee under. I was really high on Oklahoma. I liked Bayef coming back, but you started to hear the practice reports in August, and even, you know, the media at some of these college football, you know, especially the recruiting, are usually kind of a homer, not to be critical, but, you know, usually it's all glass half full homerish. And the practice reports from Oklahoma is the offense are struggling. It's not looking good. Going into that Houston game, all you heard was bad stuff coming out of the Sooners camp. And look at how they've looked since then. You know, we kind of got to react to some of what we've seen. Talking to people in the NFL, people think this Tennessee defensive line is for real. I think NFL-wise, people are more impressed with Pierce and some of those guys than they even are Nico. I think the Tennessee defense has been probably better than the offense. People don't even realize that. It's hard for me to see, even with Oklahoma getting some help back on the offensive line, them winning the line of scrimmage. So I'll be kicking myself if Oklahoma wins outright, but I don't know, dropping below seven, it would have to be Tennessee or pass for me, but I also like the under.
We definitely want to mention our local teams here. Alabama's got the bye week, that huge game against Georgia's coming up next. Of course, UAB's also off this week. They got to the midshipmen going on next week and Navy down at Protective Stadium. The Auburn Tigers, not particularly enticing or fun to watch in the first half against New Mexico, a team that had the better of them last year. Now, all of a sudden, they've got this Arkansas squad. Hugh Freeze, this is a statement game for him. I mean, this is a game that they obviously have to win. They're favored by 2.5. Anybody?
Well, I'll weigh in on that. Yeah. You know, I talked to a lot of our Auburn experts on the radio shows during the summer, and they all had kind of convinced themselves that they were going to sweep the board for sure in these first four home games. And the Oklahoma game was going to be the determining factor next week on their season, because they were really flirting with the glorious notion that Auburn could go 5-0 to start the year with all those home games. Of course, that got blown up with the loss to Cal a couple weeks ago. But now everybody's back on the bandwagon. They make the switch to Brown last week against a dreadful New Mexico defense that I think the four of us could have scored 35 points on if we'd have suited up. And now you're getting rave reviews about the new freshman quarterback. And I watched a lot of that game. I was flipping back and forth because the Georgia-Kentucky game, of course, was dramatic from the start. But from what I saw, it was mostly dink and dunk. I don't think Brown did anything to really separate himself from Peyton Thorne, who I think probably would have put up more points in that game than he did. What he didn't do was turn the ball over, which killed them against Cal. But I think the entire Auburn season rides on this game. It's interesting to me, and I'd like to hear Kai and Case's opinion. I'm actually surprised. I guess Auburn's holding at 4 or 4.5. Maybe it's just because they're at home, but I think in terms of looking at the team's bodies of work so far this year, the Arkansas performance at Oklahoma State was really a very great effort on their part. I thought they probably should have won that game. It went to overtime. Bottom line is, I think Arkansas, by the eye test, is more impressive than Auburn. So I'm kind of leaning Arkansas there, but I'm kind of surprised. I figured Auburn might be a point or two, but if they're getting up into that 4, 4.5 area, that kind of surprises me.
It's at about 2.5. I get a chance.
Oh, it's back down that low. Okay. You guys have access to a lot more of the current odds. I get them early in the week and I don't see the updates.
Talk to Trent Dilfer earlier this week. We have our show called The Inferno with UAB and the Blazers. And of course, he coached one Hank Brown in high school and said the kid is just dynamic.
Yeah, they won a state championship.
They sure did. I mean, he's a winner. And he's like, he's not a stage guy. He's not a kind of guy that's going to sit back. He's willing to go ahead. And he said, if there's one thing I didn't like about what he did was he's a risk taker, but of course he had a lot of good surrounding pieces. What do you see in this game, Case?
Yeah, this is one I don't have anything on. I agree with Kip's sentiments that it's hard to have watched these teams and not come out thinking Arkansas is the better side, but especially at 2.5. I mean, I thought even when it opened at like 4, I thought that was kind of about right. Maybe I should reconsider with the Dilfer report, but I'm not necessarily high on the
That's a good first game to come in, by the way, a New Mexico.
If he was that good and that dynamic, wouldn't he have just beat out Peyton Thorne in the offseason? So I kind of expect Arkansas to win, but I would need more than plus 2.5. And honestly, I'd even need more than plus 4. So I'm going to stay away from that game.
Okay. Every week so far, a winning week. I want you to go to K4wins.com. K4wins.com. It's very easy to navigate. You can check it out. We got free plays that are doing real well. We got paid plays that are doing real well. You get plays from all of us. We have a consensus, by the way, of what we do here. So if I like something a whole lot and Case doesn't like it, we don't put it up. But when we all like something and we put it up and it seems to work really well. Kai, what are some games that have really kind of steeked your interest this week? And give me a couple plays.
You know, I'm interested to see the Georgia Tech Louisville game, 10.5 for Louisville, but I'm more interested in that total. I think that game is probably going to go over. I really do like that. I hate to say it, but I think Ole Miss is going to lay an absolute whipping on Georgia Southern. And they might get, I don't think they're going to get the over 66.5 by themselves just because of the fact that Helton is there coaching and him and Lane are friends. But the line's dropped to 35.5. If it's 35, then I'm playing Ole Miss, you know, all day there. you know, that NC State Clemson game, like I said, that really, really, really interests me. I want to watch it. Clemson's defense, I don't know. I'd like to see that. And I'll tell you one that, I'm really looking at. I like Houston. There's a couple of games tonight. Syracuse, how they're going to do, how they're going to respond in the game. The Nebraska game, I think that's going to be a high scoring game as well, if I had to look into that. And unfortunately, we're into week four, and there's not a whole lot of marquee matchups. I don't know why. Something's wrong with it. I expect Michigan to show up. I don't think they're going to win outright. They may, but I expect them to show up. If this line was 7 or 7.5, I would just bet the big house on Michigan. But at 5, I'm not sure. But, you know, those in college, those are some of the games that I like and I'm looking at. And, you know, I really do. I would play the under in the Tennessee game.
Case, the Michigan-USC game opened up Michigan 10 before the season. Obviously, it's moved over 2 touchdowns, and it is around 5, 5.5 USC, depending on where you get it. But Michigan, again, with Arkansas State, Texas, and Fresno State, they've not looked real impressive against anybody. Fresno State was one of those games where I really thought they were going to lay the wood. They didn't get it done. I had the team total over that thing. They're 0-3 against the spread so far. And now, all of a sudden, they're sitting there as a dog for the first time in ever. This can kind of set the season for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one where you kind of got to swallow hard, be willing to be embarrassed. But I did bet Michigan +6.5 when it got there. Still at 5.5. I still think I'd bet that a little bit smaller. I just think they're going to look a lot different on offense now that they've announced Alex Orgy's going to be the starter. I think they're going to be a lot more RPO, a lot of creative runs. And I think it's just hard for USC to prepare for what they're going to do. Now, maybe you watch the first half and it seems like the Trojans have gotten settled in. You can play them in the second half or something. I just really think, and it goes back to what you say, that this is kind of their whole season. I think they're going to look a little bit different. They're going to have that element of surprise. And I don't know if they should be this big of a dog. I get it from a strictly talent perspective, but I think they have some other factors working in their favor.
And for Lincoln Riley and USC coming into the Big Ten their first season, his third year, he's got all his guys in place now. This would be an absolute huge win for their program. Of course, he replaces DC last season, so they're trying to get right on that side of the ball. Kip, what are some games? I know I've gotten a couple of your plays, your best bets on our show, on the starting lineup show, also your big dog of the weekend. We've gotten that. You can give those out as well. But what are some games that you really like this weekend?
Well, my best bet on the starting lineup tomorrow is a game that I really have called in a team of mental health specialists because I can't believe I'm picking it. But I really think Mississippi State is so bad. Toledo just boat raced them last week in Starkville. They played a good second half against Arizona State, but Arizona State is not a very good team either. And Florida is getting out of Gainesville. I think that's the biggest news. The Gators, certainly roster-wise, have a much more talented roster than Mississippi State. Jeff Lebby, I think, is a good hire, but he was left with absolutely nothing to work with this year. They had very few returners and very few top-notch players, and it's really kind of reflecting that. Florida is and you guys, again, give me the adjusted line, but it opened up this week around 4. I just think the pressure of being out of Gainesville lifted from their shoulders. I think this team is going to play a lot better, and I really expect them to handily by several touchdowns to beat Mississippi State in Starkville. Okay. Now, that's usually a place where it can be a house of horrors with the cowbells and just how to get there. It's off the beaten path, to say the least, but I just think it's going to be a great relief for the Gators to take the field in Starkville. I also like, I'm not high on Virginia. I think a lot of the middle to lower level ACC teams are not very talented. They go to Conway, South Carolina, on right bordering with Myrtle Beach, and play Coastal Carolina. This is really an up and coming program. They're doing impressive things. They lost their coach a couple of years ago, but they've completely kind of restocked and have it going in the right direction again. They're catching 2.5 or 3 as a home dog against Virginia, who I just don't think's that impressive. And in these kind of situations, I like the more incentivized team. And I think the Chanticleers are going to take down the Cavaliers in that game on Saturday.
All right. Excellent. I've got some games, man. I found a lot of games I liked. This is one of those weekends where I may put up like 10 or 11 ball games, and I hate betting that many ball games, but you know what happens if you pick your six best ones, those are the ones you lose, and the ones you didn't play end up winning. But I want to get your thoughts on some on our big show. I took Memphis. I feel like if Memphis is going to be this team that everyone says is going to make the playoffs, this would be an impressive win. You got to win these type of games against Navy. They're only giving it 9.5 points. They're 3-0 against the spread, 6-3 last night against Navy, and 8-1 against the spread against the Midshipmen since they've been doing that. Navy hasn't played anybody. They played Temple and Bucknell, so they're 2-0 as well. And Memphis got seven guys coming back on offense. Seth Hedigan, I think, is a senior. He did one fantastic where they got their three top wide receivers back. Navy's run this thing called the Sling T now since Coach Ken's not there, been there for a couple of years, but the Sling T, and they're actually scoring some points. So I would go evenly, and I'm surprised that this over-under is in the 40s. I think I saw 48.5 this morning. I'm going to jump all over that over 48.5. Memphis averaging 33 points a ball game the last nine times they played Memphis. They'll put points up against Navy every time they play them. All Navy's got to do is put up a 14 spot, and that over is going to go. So I'm taking Memphis in the over. My dog of the weekend, and again, all these games I like are all undefeated teams, which is crazy. If I told you BYU and K-State we're going into week four undefeated, would you believe me? It's been unbelievable. BYU's been on the road two of the first 3 weeks. They get to come home. They got the brand new DCJ Hall. He's turned the corner when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. You got Lassiter. You got Roberts. You got Epps. Their wide receivers are back for another year. Jake Ratzcliffe. Haven't seen the kid play a lot of football, but I think he's really good for BYU. I think we're going to get back into that ring and sling kind of type of football for BYU, where they used to put up a lot of points. They have not done the last couple of seasons, but I love them plus the 6.5 against K-State, a team I've already gone against and lost against earlier this season. I'm going to take BYU, and they should be a perfect 4-0 against the spread. I played San Jose State, and what a turd of a team for a while. I tell you now, speaking of midshipmen, Coach Ken is now at San Jose State, and he's brought this. They're undefeated going into the season, and of course, they're playing an undefeated Wash State team. I know it's really easy and early in the season. I get that, but they're also 3-0 against the spread. Both teams 3-0 against the spread. I just think this number's too big right now. I think it's 12.5 right now. I like what Coach Ken's doing. That Jake Butterfield's been a great quarterback the last couple of years, and I think San Jose State has been looking for some stability, and I think we're going to realize now just how great of Coach Ken's been his entire career leaving Navy. So I'm going to take San Jose State. And then the other game I think is really interesting, UCLA-LSU. I don't like Brian Kelly. I've never liked Brian Kelly. I've never liked Cincinnati. I was a Xavier Musketeer fan. We hated their basketball program, so I just hated everything about Cincinnati when Brian Kelly was there. I didn't give a squat about him being at Notre Dame. I think he's a blowhard. He can pound the table all he wants. But they're 0-3 against the spread this year. They got damn lucky this past weekend. And I want to see what UCLA coming into their first year in the Big Ten can do. I know they're not a very good football team, but this, again, is another game where if LSU loses this game against UCLA, man, Brian Kelly is in some serious trouble already at LSU. I mean, he's in some serious troubles.
They're not going to lose. UCLA may stay within the number, but, I mean, keep in mind, UCLA, I mean, beginning of the year, they barely beat Hawaii, who's supposed to be the worst team.
That's what I'm saying. They better not lose. They better not lose, but this is another game.
I think they're going to lose, but I agree. Brian Kelly's not a great coach. He hasn't done anything since he left Cincinnati, in my opinion. I would probably stay away from that game, but if I did anything, I understand that, taking the dog. I think it's, what, 22.5 now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
On that game.
I think,
I mean, the BYU game's the late game tomorrow night. I think it starts at 9.
Yep.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll probably all get to see that. You know, I'm hoping to, you know, be celebrating the second half, Tennessee being up big over Oklahoma. I don't think that's what's going to happen at that point. Hopefully they're winning, but yeah, I agree. And Kip, I love it. I you know, being a Tennessee fan, of course, one of the teams I hate the most in the world is Florida, but Mississippi State's just not good. So I have to agree there as well.
Case, what's looking your way, man? You get a chance to look at the entire board. You look weeks in advance. What's really popping out to you this weekend?
Yeah, I love it because I feel like on this show, and especially early, we touch on a lot of games I haven't bet, but I think the last six games you guys have mentioned collectively, I bet every single one of them. Now, granted, I am a little bit more high volume, and the good news is we're in agreement in four of the six. the two we disagree on is I actually really like Virginia at Coastal Carolina. I don't think Coastal really has anything for Anthony Calandria. I don't like Virginia's coaching, but I mean, and we're seeing money pour in on Virginia every week, kind of late in the week. So there's people with a lot bigger bankrolls than me that like the Cavaliers. So it's, if you want to bet them, I bet them now. I also kind of lean Washington State tonight. I just, you know, we talk about Tennessee playing the deaf and the poor, whatever Kai said. You look at San Jose State schedule, it leaves a lot to be desired. I will say, though, it looks like most of the money's coming on San Jose State, so there's some smart people on your side as well. But those are just the two I disagree on. The other four you guys gave out, I'm in total agreement, although I was trying to bite my tongue on Florida because I've been on them every week and they've let me down. But Mississippi State's just such a wreck. And I can't believe I bet against Mississippi State the first week on Kip's show and said why they were going to be terrible. That's the one week that they showed up, so bad timing there. But another one I like that I guess we haven't touched, might sound like a homer, but my alma mater, Kansas, going to West Virginia. I think I've talked about on this show every week how little I think of the Mountaineers this year. And I know Kansas has lost two straight to Illinois and UNLV, but if you watch those games, dived into the box score, they outplayed both of them. They had some crazy fumbles go their way, go against them. Excuse me. It's been really bad luck. I think this is kind of a buy low. I think their skill players are way better. Their coaching, at least offensive, is way better. So I think Kansas being an underdog, kind of a good value there, even though I know it's hard to go play in Morgantown. So that's one I like. The number's gotten a little high, but the biggest bet I actually made this week, and I think I'm going to be betting this team every week, I've got them 30-1 to win the CUSA. I love Sam Houston State this year, just big physical up front. With Liberty being down, I really think they might be the team to beat in the CUSA. I actually bet them 11. It's now all the way up to 16, mostly. I still would lay the 16. I mean, New Mexico State's kind of getting some respect in the market because they took Liberty to the brink, but this is a team kind of from around here. I know their coach, or at least used to know their coach really well. I haven't spoken to him in years, Tony Sanchez, but still having a little bit of a network of people around them. This is like truly the year zero after all those kids went to Vanderbilt. He's having a tough time rebuild. So I wouldn't mind laying the lumber with Sam Houston still, even though it's 5 points higher than where I bet it.
Hey, we love our college football, but we're really good at the pros too. And of course, Case and I, just from sake that I was a Cincinnati Bengals fan, I hopped on that 6, wasn't sure. On paper, it looked like KC was going to own them all day. The last three times Kansas City and the Cincinnati Bengals have played each other, they've represented the AFC East. The Bengals, the extra point miss, they lose by one. I'm like, oh, God. But I did have inside the 6.5. I also had Baltimore. They're up by 10. They lose a game. I had Dallas, and they got blown. I don't know what the hell is going on with Dak Prescott. He got his contract, and he hasn't played a shit since. But your thoughts on some pro action, if anything, it looks really good to you guys.
Oh, excruciating for me, that Bengals game. I still had a really good NFL week.
I had money line on it too, man. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
But I had a 4-team round robin, just run underdogs I like to put in every once in a while. All three hit. So I still made a good profit. That would have been like a $4,000 bonus if Kansas City doesn't kick the field goal at the end. But just because that's on the top of my head, I mean, I have thoughts on basically every NFL game. If you guys have one that's you want to talk about, but I like Cincinnati again on Monday night. Actually, I think this Commanders team had no business winning. Seven field goals. The Giants don't have a kicker. I could not be lower on Washington, even though Jaden Daniels has been a little bit better to begin than I thought, at least with his legs. Now they're telling him not to run. They just have no pieces defensively. So I'm usually always against the Bengals, but this week I'm backing your boys again. I like laying the points with Cincinnati.
And in prime time, they just haven't been a very good football team, and I'm trying to put the old Bengals away and put the new ones up. And again, for the way they looked against New England, who just put a 3-point up against the Jets last night, they looked horrible, and I can't believe the Bengals gave up that many points to them. And I'm sitting there, and how in the world? But those Kansas City Bengals games, man, it looked like rivalry games for the future. Those things are always super close, and for whatever reason, Cincinnati's always got KC's number. Kai, what's pointing out for you on Sunday, Monday night, Sunday night's NFL schedule? What's looking good to you?
Well, you know, one of my biggest things, we haven't talked about it, but over the last 2 weeks, has there been a worse coach team, especially in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game, than Philly? What in the hell was the coach doing throwing the ball with a minute 43 up on 3rd and 3? Run the ball. Your running back's averaging 4.5 yards a carry. You're on the 13-yard line. You get a first down, it's over. Worst case scenario, they don't have any timeouts left. You run it up the middle, they run it down. They freaking drive down and score with what? And I think the line was 5.5. Mm-hmm. So they kick the field goal. It would have been up 6. They don't. So what? I know a lot of people that hit all kinds of plays in the second half just because of the fact that one of the dumbest coaching moves, and then the defense for Philadelphia comes out. So now you've got Philly and New Orleans, and New Orleans is 3. You say, really? This is it. The way New Orleans has been playing, their new offensive coordinator, they put up, what, 91 points first two games. That one stands out to me. I mean, I would have to take New Orleans just because I think the Philadelphia coaching staff is a bunch of morons, especially after watching that game.
I think Kamara's on pace to score like 117 touchdowns this year.
I was coaching Little League Baseball on Sunday, and all the dads are there doing fantasy football, and they're talking about how many points Kamara got for him. And it just makes me, you know, go back to, again, Butch Jones and how horrible he is and the way he used Kamara at Tennessee. I think Detroit and Arizona is going to be a high-scoring game. I like what Arizona's doing offensively right now. The game that is really big to me is Baltimore and Dallas. Baltimore's offensive line has stunk all year. I think Micah Parsons could just completely him and Derrick Henry are probably going to go head to head on about 15 runs because Baltimore just doesn't block. And Micah will line up on the left or the right side a lot. They're going to have to switch him to the left side because that's where Baltimore's main problem was last week. I don't remember the dude from the Raiders, what's his name is. He had like 87 tackles in the backfield because they couldn't block. It's just ridiculous. And I can't wait to watch that game and see which team's going to suck the most between Dallas and Baltimore. And I'm a Titans fan, but I really like Baltimore's defense. I've really liked them all along, and I'm really shocked with what their offense is doing. Thought it'd be a lot better with King Henry there as a running back.
Kip, take us to the house, man. You got anything you like? It's popping for you?
I have a couple on my list here. I don't really have great reasons. I watched the game between Houston and Chicago the other night. I guess that was on Monday. I can't keep Sunday and Monday night football straight. It's one or the other. But I was not blown away by the Texans' performance. This game is in Minnesota this week. I just kind of, after seeing them, feel like the Vikings might have it together a little bit more right now. The Texans, I think, are even a slight favorite. So, that's just one of those that got my attention. Ravens, Cowboys, I'm right along Kai's line of thinking. These are two teams that are coming off dreadful losses. The Cowboys got drubbed and the Ravens gave away a game to a team that, really didn't show any offensive productivity in week one against the Chargers. This is kind of a survival game. I don't know, just from a pedigree standpoint, I'm just kind of used to, and I know I harp on too much history and things that I have witnessed in the past, but this just looks like a game to me that the better coach team, which I think is Baltimore, is probably going to have the edge on the Cowboys, but I guess it can go either way. But I'm leaning Ravens there. And I also had on my list here, I like the Colts this week because although Richardson's still a work in progress, they're about due to break through, and that game's a virtual pick 'em. So that's the three I kind of had highlighted in the NFL. I also will not be surprised with the Falcons hanging with the Chiefs. I really got to see the Falcons up close in their game. That was the Monday night game. The Falcons offensive line is really impressive. Yeah. They're getting 3 points. Everybody in America is probably going to jump all over the Chiefs, figuring that they're just the machine that's never malfunctions. But I've just got a sneaking suspicion, and it's kind of an unusual weekend in Atlanta. The Braves wrap up their season with the Kansas City Royals, and the Kansas City Chiefs are in town the same day. So there might be a lot of Kansas City representation in the ATL, but I don't like having this inclination, but I think the Falcons might hang as a home underdog.
First 3 weeks, if you hopped on K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com, you'd only have enough cash to pay for the rest of the year, but you probably got enough to put some stuff away for Christmas and maybe Christmas for next year. Get after it. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. We'll look at games again next week and get after it. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We'll talk next week.
Evolve.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.